morning. Praise the Lord, we can come and worship the Lord. I want to take just 1 minute. Say nice thing to the person next to you. One good thing about the person next to you. Thank you for your worship. Praise the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer before we begin. Father God, we thank you, we praise you, we can come before your presence. You are lifted up, we glorify you. You are worthy to be praised. You redeem us from the darkness into the light. We are new creation, created in Christ Jesus. We praise you, we are living creature. Praise your name, Lord. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. We can come and worship the Lord. Sometimes I turn to the news. Whenever I read the world news, like CNN, local news, I see bad things. What do you see in the news today? We see social problems. Violent, suicide, murder, war in Afghanistan, and many things like sexual immorality to persecutions. And just yesterday reports, 25 people were killed in anti-government violence in Syria. There are a lot of problems in the world. We have seen nations rise up against nations. Family issue like marital problems, teenager issue, conflict between your parents and kids. Conflict occur all over the world. And funny thing is we see government agency every day try to fix the problem of the world, the nation of the country, like this nation. They claim that the source of conflict is because of inflation. Nuclear power, lack of money, gas prices. Yes, it's true, but it's not exactly correct. The Bible gives us the right answer. The Bible, from the book of Genesis, at the first book of the Bible, it gives us the root cause of all conflict. What do you think is the answer? Now it's time to test. The answer is sin. The answer is sin. Have you ever had conflict? No one had conflict before? Everyone of us have conflict. Oh, Samuel does not have conflict. We all have conflict at work or church, with friends, family, and spouse, and friends. Neighbor, and it's the result of the sin of Adam and Eve. It's very interesting as you turn to the Bible that at the beginning of the book of Genesis, start before we end Genesis chapter 3, we are given the detailed description of the fall of man in 7 verses. In 7 verses long, 1 to 7. A perfect world, a paradise created by God, was changed from a perfect world, to a sinful and corrupted world. In 7 verses. I wish God would give us more detail in the first few chapters about the scenery of the creation account, what He did, what did He talk to Adam and Eve. But God, the Bible, wastes no time telling us the fall of man in the 3rd chapter of Genesis. It records the conversation between one human and one animal, right? Two persons are talking, but the serpent and the woman. And another person too was standing beside her. I call him the best supporting actor. The best supporting character. He didn't talk. He just stand there. And ever since Genesis chapter 3, the world, the family, a personal conflicts have never stopped until this, even to this present time. It's the result of sin. It's the result of the original sin and the fall in the Garden of Eden. And the evil of this world start in the Garden of Eden. So let's turn to the book of Genesis chapter 3. We're going to read and study this passage together. From Genesis 3 verse 1 to 7. As Uncle Tony just read, I'm going to read it. Again, chapter 3 verse 7. 1 to 7. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruits from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made covering for themselves. Brothers and sisters, as you read Genesis chapter 3 verse 1, do you see something pretty shocking to you? Have you seen the funniest movie? It's like 10 years ago, I liked that movie. Dr. Dolittle. You know, the actor of the movie, Eddie Murphy, knows, understand animal, and he can talk to the animal and understand them. I do not know how about you. I have a dog at home. If he say to me, "Good morning," and "I'm hungry, I need some food," I would be freaked out and run away. It's a talking animal. Snake can talk in this chapter, verse 3. We see animal can talk. The serpent communicate with the woman. Surprisingly enough is that the woman is not shocked by the talking animal. And Genesis chapter 3 does not tell us much about the serpent other than he is the most crafty animal made by God. The word crafty does not mean bad. Actually, it's used in the book of Proverbs. Means prudent. Prudent man. It's a good term. Only two times it's used in a bad sense. For God created everything, and he said that it was good. And so the serpent, and the text does not want us to focus on the characteristic of the serpent, like, you know, a standing serpent, like crocodile. No, God does not focus. But God, the Bible, wants us to focus on what he say. And he's a talking serpent, so there must be something getting inside the serpent, isn't it? The book of Revelation tells us that old serpent, that ancient serpent called devil or Satan, who leads the world, whole world astray. Here we see that there is satanic influence here in the serpent. Satan tricked the serpent into disobeying God's command, violation of God's command, actually is seen in God's eye. As we go to this passage, as we study together, I would like let's observe how does temptation cause Adam and Eve to disobey God and sin against God. How does temptation cause Adam and Eve to disobey God? This is what I'm going to see. How does temptation cause Adam and Eve to disobey God? First, you can write down in your hangout, temptation raises questions on the word of God, all the command of God. Temptation raises questions on the very word of God. The serpent came to the woman and questioned her about the command of God. Genesis 3 verse 1. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Did God really say that? That is the first questions in the Bible. God used word to create the heaven and earth. And is challenged by the devil in the third chapter. Did God really say that? Or put it another way, did the Bible really say that? Satan used this slogan to trick the woman on her understanding of the word of God. Today, Satan is still using the same technique to question you and to challenge you on the word of God. Or maybe I can put them like this. Did God really say that I cannot search the internet porn? Did God really say that I cannot waste my time on the iPhone or video game? Did God really say that? Or for the kids, did God really say that I have to obey my parents even though they make mistakes as well? It challenges us to think. It challenges the questions, the commands of God. And for the husband, brother, sister, brother, did God really say that we have to love our wife even though she is unreasonable sometimes? For the wife, did God really say that you have to respect your husband even when he does not live up to your expectation? If you read the news recently, people are questioning the command of God about the sanctity of life and also marriage. They're questioning, did God really say that homosexuality is a sin? There are tons of examples I can list in this fallen world. They not simply question, but challenge the very foundational word of God. And Satan is the one is in the background doing all these manipulative works. Satan twists the command of God in Genesis 2 verse 16 and 17. And you see the skillful manipulation in Genesis 3 and verse 1. In Genesis 2 verse 16, God said to the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." What did the serpent say in Genesis chapter 3 verse 1? It said, did God really say you must not eat from the tree, any tree in the garden? The serpent misplaced the word of God, tricked the word of God around. And used to trick the woman. See, you must not eat. Where did the serpent get this from? From verse 17, the first half of verse 17. You must not eat. And then the second half. From any tree in the garden. He got it from verse 16. The labor of verse 16. And he put it together to trick the woman. By the way, do you see that Satan knew of God's word and warning? Well, perhaps much better than us. He lived longer than us. Yes, Satan knew God's word and used it to tempt the woman. One day, a pastor once said to me, "You and I are only the third person in this world who know ourselves best. The one who know our self best is God. And the second one is not us, but Satan." He has observed us since our birth. He knows our light and dislike, our strength and weakness. He knows the temptation that causes us to fall. And so Eve, he knew about Eve's weakness. So in response to the serpent question, it's very clear to us that the woman did not retain the precision of God's word and his command. Because in chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, it said, "The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat from the fruits of the tree in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'" She misrepresented what God had said. I make some observation. The woman made three significant changes to the original command of God. First, she restricted the provision of God. God did say, "You are free to eat." She said, "We may eat." Second, she added the prohibition. "You must not touch it." God did not say that. Third, she weakened the penalty for sin. God said, "You will surely die." What did she say? "Or you will die." She omitted the surely. It kind of tells us that it does not carry the assurance of the penalty of death. Brothers and sisters, more often than not, we have to retain the precision of God's word in order to resist temptation. For instance, Jesus used God's word to resist the devil when he was tempted in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4. On the contrary, Peter, Judas, and King David did not. Temptation comes to us in disguise. There are many traps set up by Satan to tempt us. In the internet, there are a lot of them. Online forum, fashions, a phone, friends, even our thoughts can tempt us to fall into temptation. And it challenges, questions the command of God, try to break the limit and boundary set by God. Like house rule, marriage between one man and one woman. Our tempter is very smart. He has outlived you and I. But then, God and His Word are more powerful, are more greater than our tempter. That's why we have to spend time in studying God's Word. What I get from this passage, first point is that a thorough knowledge of God's Word is absolutely essential for victory over temptation. A thorough knowledge of God's Word is absolutely essential for victory over God's Word. That's why the church theme this year is to hold out the Word of Life. How can we hold out the Word of Life if we do not spend time on the Word of God? So we need to learn, we need to study the God's Word, we need to know the precision of the God's Word in order to resist the temptation. So the first point is temptation, temptation questions the very command of God. Second, temptation casts doubt on the goodness of God. Temptation casts doubt on the goodness of God. When the serpent knew the woman did not retain the precise knowledge of God's word, the serpent boldly denied the penalty of death and then raised doubt on the goodness of God. He said to her, verse 5, "You will not," verse 4 and 5, "We will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. You will be like God, knowing good and evil." For sure, God didn't say this. God didn't say your eyes will be opened, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. God did not say that. What did God say? "When you eat of it, you will surely die." And the serpent said, "You will not surely die." Underscore the word no. The word no in verse 5. As I was meditating on this word no jumped up to me. It sounded like the serpent was hinting something to the woman, like, well, for God, so God knows everything. God knows about you, what you're capable of doing. See, He is a knowing, all-knowing God. He knows when you eat of the fruit, and your eye will be open, you will be just like Him, knowing good and evil. But then He doesn't want you to have it. Kind of the serpent misrepresents who God is. We know God is a good God. He has given us all the good things that He knows we need in order to protect us. God is a good God. But then the serpent cast doubt in the mind of the woman about the goodness of God. He tempted the woman to think that God is less than good. God has held back something good from you. Do not want you to enjoy. Actually, serpent is implying that your situation is not good enough. You are still lack of something else. There is something better in store for you. And God does not want you to have it. That is the lie from Satan. Tempting the woman to doubt the goodness of God. And that's what temptation does to our thinking. It tempts us to doubt God and His goodness. Eve lived a perfect life. Her marriage, the environment she lived, is paradise. Yet, temptation caused her to doubt on God's goodness, thinking that God was holding something back from her. Two friends met each other on the street one day. One looked very sad, almost wanted to cry. His friends asked, "What has the world done to you, my old friend?" he said. "Let me tell you, 3 weeks ago, my uncle died and left me $50,000. And that's a lot of money," his friend said. But then he said, "You see, 2 weeks ago, a cousin that I never met had left me a $100,000. His friend replied, "Sounds to me that you have been very blessed." He interrupted. He said, "You do not know. Last week, my great aunt passed away, and I inherited $1 million from her." Now, his friend was very confused. "Then why do you look so sad?" And he said, "This week, nothing. This friend had nothing. He complained about it, he didn't get nothing. This friend has already inherited a lot of money from his relative, but he's still upset that he didn't get nothing today." Just like in this passage, temptation caused the woman to question the goodness of God, to think that God has hold something bad from her. Instead of feeling content and thankful for other tree in the garden that she can freely eat, her mind began to dwell on that single tree that she cannot eat. Brother and sister, there are some good, important lessons we can learn from these two verses. There are many people around us who could think just like the woman, or could be like a student who received acceptance to a university, but doubt that God is holding back the choice, top choice from him. Or a woman has a stable home and a loving family, fear that she is missing out of God's blessing, that she does not have a good career. Or God has given you parents wonderful children, and the parent doubt that God, why God does not give them a smart kid, a smart one like Mark Zuckerberg, or an athletic one like Jeremy Lin or Michelle Kwan, for example. Brother and sister, Friend, what is the one thing that you want but God you have not received from the Lord? Do you think that God is holding something back from you? Do you doubt the goodness of God? God is good. He wants you to have what is good for you. So how does temptation cause Adam and Eve to sin against God? First, it questioned the command of God. Second, it raised doubt on the goodness of God. Third, temptation succeed in arousing their human desire. We read that the woman gave in to her desire and then the man followed. Verse 6 says that when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. The serpent has left the scene. It's now up to the woman to make final decisions. But she gave in to her desire to obtain wisdom. Brothers and sisters, do you realize that the final decisions is solely based on human decisions and not the serpent? So influenced by the temptation of the serpent to be like God, her own desire kicked in and she cannot resist the temptation. I remember an idiom, it really takes two to tango. A good ball and a good strike to hit a home run. And it takes temptation and human desire. Then sin is conceived. Just like in the story of David, who will commit adultery with Bathsheba, it's not just by one look, but it's because of the lustful desire within him that caused him to sin. And also Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus. It's not because of the money itself. It's the lust of the money that caused him to sin against God. And in James chapter 1 verse 14 and 15. Let's turn to James chapter 1 verse 14 and 15. Or maybe hope we can memorize it. James chapter 1. Verse 14 and 15. It says, each one is tempted by his own desire. He is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, it gives birth to death. It gives birth to death. The woman actually is tempted by her own evil desire. She has the choice not to commit sin. But she chose to. She desired to gain wisdom and get it in the wrong way, therefore disobeying God. If we want to get wisdom, the Bible clearly tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear God first, obey His command, then we can get wisdom. But not disobeying God like Eve. By the way, what happened to Adam who was around her doing nothing? He was around her. He heard of the conversation between the serpent and his wife, and he didn't say a word. And verse 3, chapter 3, verse 6, it says that she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate, period. Nothing. I know, it's coming, man. We are the responsible for the sin. The man ate the fruit without hesitation, without asking any question, when his wife gave it to him. There were two lines of husband in heaven. One for the dominant husband, one for the passive submissive husband. The submissive husband line extend almost out of the line. There was one, but there was one man in the dominant husband line. He was small, a tiny, but a dominant husband. But when the angel asked him, "Why do you stand there?" And he said, "My wife made me to stand here." Man, we need to rise up. We need to stop passivity, as the Word of God says in these words. We are called by God to be the keeper of our family. If we do not lead our family, who will? Satan will do that. One thing we all will watch out in this verse was watch out the man and the woman did not fall into the temptation for the same reason. They did not fall into temptation for the same reason. The woman was deceived by the Satan, but not the man. Adam did not fall through the deception of the serpent. He sinned willfully, rebelled against God. As you know, the Bible clearly commands the man not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Kind of like God said to Adam, tree in the north, south, east, west, you can have it all freely. You can enjoy it. But not this one. Even though Adam knew about it, remember it, but he chose to rebel against God. He gave in to the request of his wife against the command of God. That's why the Bible never placed the blame on the woman for the fall of human race. Instead, the Bible says, in Adam, all die. Just like the First Corinthians chapter 15, 21 to 22. It says that death came through one man. For in Adam, all die. In Adam, all sin. Through one man. It's not through one woman. Well, they all ate the fruits. Their eyes were open. Their understanding were open. They had the knowledge of evil. They saw their own nakedness. Then they felt shameful. And then later on feel fearful of God. And make fixed leaf for covering. Instead of gaining wisdom, they gained the knowledge of evil. They had ungodly fear in them. Instead of like God, they are like Satan, following the path of the evil one. They both suffer the consequence of their disobedience, sin and death. What can we learn from these two words, verse 6 and 7? Brother, are we driven by passivity? To be a keeper of our house, we need to stand up to lead our family. While we want to listen to the godly counsel of our wife, we need to take heed, check on the Word of God. And we need to make sure that our family live and act within the boundary of God. That's why we have to study the Bible carefully and know what pleases God and know what is forbidden by Him. How about the sister? I do not want to offend our sister here. But here I have a question for the married woman. Sister, have you ever tried to influence your husband to commit an act that is not of God's will? You thought that it is a wise decision, but then it's not from the Lord. It could be out of your own desire. How about the rest of us? Do we choose to obey God or obey
the commands or the principle of this world. We know God's word more than the thing of this world. Just like Adam and Eve, they know God more than the serpent, but they obey the serpent who tell them something that is not good. So we have to obey God's command. Let me summarize what I just touched on. First, temptation caused Adam and Eve to sin against God. First, temptations questions the very word of God. Second, temptation raised doubt on the goodness of God, tempting the women to doubt on God's goodness. And thirdly, temptation succeed in arousing their human desire and also our human desire too. So we have to watch out, study God's word and obey Him rather than the world. I have one final note. See that in this passage, Adam and Eve, they both take and eat of the fruits. Their act, take and eat, do not require much effort. Pretty much a simple act. Just take it and eat it. Even for Adam, it's like receiving from Eve and eat it. But the rest of the story of the Bible was his consequences. Sin came to the world. And that simple act of disobedience result in the mess that we are seeing in our daily life. And that simple act required a very costly sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to the world to suffer and to die for mankind. It was a very costly sacrifice that Jesus came to the world to taste suffering, death on the cross, and die for you and I in order to restore us to the original fellowship with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, we praise you. Thank you, dear Lord, you have given us your Bible, that we know your thoughts, we know your heart, your command. Lord, pray that you help us to study your word, know your word fully, in order that we may be able to hold out the word of life in our daily life, that we will be your light and salt to others. We thank you, we praise you, that Lord, the first man died because of disobedience. Praise the Lord for the second Adam who came to save our life, that we have an eternal life. You taste death, suffering, and in order to give us life. Lord, we thank you, we praise you. Help us, Lord, to live according to your will. Live pleasing to you. Your good and pleasing will. We praise you. We thank you. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Set out I am Jesus. We won't be looking at the world, and we won't be tempted by the world. So that's 509. Let's just sing verse 1.